Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the February 26th edition of Rebel Guard Radio. I am your host, KZ, and on the line I have my tag team partner and soulmate for the evening, Alex Saint. This evening's guest, Vito DiNucci, called in sick. He's a little under the weather, so he apologizes, and he will definitely reschedule. Vito has been requested. I've gotten countless emails and private messages on MySpace and other places to have him on again. He was a hell of a guest. What's going on, Al?
Oleg Tektarov versus Don Fry. That's what's going on. Have you seen that fight announced for the Yama show?
No, I haven't.
Oleg Tektarov versus Don Fry. That fight would have made me cream in 1997. 2008, I don't know what that fight means. I don't even know. I don't even know how to pick a winner. I guess whoever doesn't break first. Tektarov was so amazing because in the early days of UFC, you basically had jiu-jitsu guys, submission guys, and just brawlers. And Tektarov was one of the few submission guys, but he was real small. Like I remember his fight against Ken Shamrock in UFC, I want to say it was 7 or 8, because I remember 9 was that horrible fight he had against Don Fry. But,
right.
No, not Don Fry, Dan Severn.
Yeah, Severn.
Anyway,
yeah.
So Shamrock fought Tektarov. And he was so much bigger than Tektarov in that fight. Just beat the crap out of him. But I thought Tektarov was, like, one of the superior. After Royce Gracie left, I felt like Tektarov was the best fighter in the UFC, pound for pound at least.
Right. I have
That's just my opinion.
I have
His
to
problem
agree
is he always cut real easy, though. Like, you get him against the cage and hit him with a couple good shots, he'd cut real easy. But Tektarov
mm-hmm.
was amazing.
Yeah, he did have bad scar tissue. And
yes, he did. I wonder what he was doing before UFC.
Well, he was Sambo, if I remember right.
Yeah,
you know, and that's about as close to MMA as you can get. But, well, for those people that are listening that are in the Bay Area, this Saturday in Newark, California, at the Newark Pavilion, Kirk White is hosting a fan fest, which, if I remember right, the headliner is, isn't it Bret Hart?
It's the entire Hart Foundation. It's Jim Danville, Neidhart, Bret
right.
Hart, and Jimmy, and all three of the original Hart Foundation members, they're live. But the headliner for me is Tracy Brooks.
There you go. She is smoking, isn't she?
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, she is really, really hot. And oof. Even without the enhancement, I think. You know, just the black hair, and she's really smoking with the glasses. Wow. Works for me. But no one compares to my wife, Jessica. But, you know, you'll get to meet her this weekend. But I do have to put her over on the air because she takes care of me. And she's the unseen, unheard, the one that keeps us together here at Rebel Guard Radio. So I have to put her over. Yeah, if you're in the area, come on out. It's an all-day festival. I'm not quite sure when the doors open, but they'll be doing a fan fest during the day, and then there'll also be a card that night. So come on out and say hi to the Rubber Guard Radio crew, Alex and myself, and my sponsor, Jeff Dino. We'll all be in attendance, as well as one half of Anchors Away. Which one was going to be in town, Alex?
Ryan Stone.
That's right. I get confused with the shooting work names. I get confused easily, so, but I try hard.
Okay, this new Noah show, the first navigation of 08, These guys on the undercard look like they're 80 years old. Who are these people? Like,
oh, the old guys?
The old guys. Like, where did they come from? Like, were they working back with a what was the famous Japanese guy before Inoki and Baba?
Oh, Ricky Dozan.
Ricky Dozan. Were they wrestling with Ricky Dozan back in his time?
Probably.
Because I've seen recent Inoki. I mean, we haven't seen recent Baba because he's dead, but I've seen recent Inoki, and Inoki looks better than half these guys. It is pitiful. That's why. I don't know. What's your opinion of the Noah product?
I don't like the heavyweights. The junior heavyweight division though is really, really good. The young guys that they have, Aoki is awesome. Kenta and Marufuji, you can't say enough about them. Plus they have the junior tag straps on, rotating through Dragon Gate, which is not a problem by me. Plus the Briscoes are over there. But what about Chris Hero breaking that dude's face?
I'm not made it that far in the show yet. Right now I'm watching Morishima, and you remember Russell Morishima on the show? Oh, no. He went for
Morishima.
A German off the top, and Morishima just sat on him.
Oof. Instant death.
Yes. But, no, I'm not a particularly too big fan. I mean, it's okay, but, I mean, I don't know. It seems to me like a lot like Ring of Honor, and I'm just not the hugest Ring of Honor fan. But speaking of promotions I am into, I saw the the latest New Japan show with the Nakamura angle match.
Mm-hmm.
You saw it before me. What did you think about it?
That was fun.
AJ Styles never needs to be allowed to work in Japan again.
Imagine if Angle would have signed with New Japan in 96 instead of Vince.
I don't know what happens if Angle wouldn't have went to TNA and just moved out to New Japan.
Well, I think that would have been a better deal for him. But we're going to take a caller. Anarchist Ian Daniels, what's up, brother? Ian, are you on the line?
Sunny California.
This is Ian Daniels. What's up, brother? How you doing?
How's the weather in sunny Cali?
Something like that.
It's not
as cold out there in the Northeast.
We're under about a foot of snow right here in lovely New York right now.
Oh, fun stuff. All right, Dan, Ian, I'm going to put you on the spot. King of Trios, who's winning?
Wait a second,
KZ. You spoiled. I was going somewhere with my conversation. And where I'm going is that New Japan, well, it's not been officially announced, but I've heard through the scuttlebutt, and I think you pretty much confirmed it, that we will see Carl the Machine Gun Anderson in New Japan, which makes New Japan the greatest promotion on earth. They will have Carl the Machine. Imagine Carl the Machine Gun Anderson and Tanahashi on the same team. That's too much.
Mm.
That's too much.
Ian Daniels is a big Tanahashi fan as well. Huge Tanahashi fan.
Oh, my. Did you see the Tanahashi AJ match at the last show?
AJ shouldn't be allowed to wrestle in Japan.
AJ should not be allowed to wrestle in Japan. He plays. It works in America if you're trying to heal like that, but Japan, it just comes off as you being goofy.
Yeah, I agree.
And then AJ style, because I've seen Tanahashi go in there and deliver insane matches out of guys that I don't normally see insane matches out of. I saw Nakamura and Angle, and I still think Tanahashi Nakamura from the 1-4 Dome show was better. It was good, but I still thought that match was better.
I want to see an amazing hidden Tanahashi match. It was on an All Japan show from, I want to say, 2003, maybe 2004, and it's Tanahashi versus, maybe even 2005, but it's Tanahashi versus Tomoaki Hanma, the guy from Big Japan.
Yeah,
and the first time I saw the match, it blew my mind.
Well, see,
totally
the, first, See, like I've said it before on the show, but like the first time I saw Tanahashi is because I've heard a lot of people on the internet talk about it. Every year on the internet there's somebody that's really good that everyone needs to check out. You know how it is.
I do. It's never me, but yeah.
Yeah, hopefully in a couple years it'll be me. But anyways, everybody was saying, you know, Tanahashi's it. And so, you know, I always give the person a chance, you know, to see if I like him. And then so I got some Tanahashi, and I have to say, like, he's better than what a lot of people give him credit for.
I agree entirely.
And then I'm just really depressed that we're not able to see a Tanahashi angle match.
That would have been so good.
It would have been so good. But AJ, AJ never needs to go back to Japan and work again. The crowd is so silent that he yells at him to try to get heat, I think. But they just don't react, and he's... it's weird. And then Nakamura and Angle, that was a good short match. But Nakamura, I don't know. What do you think about Nakamura leaving New Japan in 2008?
I think that the whole Nakamura Supernova thing from when he debuted was, you know, his prime. He's been injured like 8 times already. You know, I mean, the guy can put it on, sure. But, I mean, I don't think that the crowd reacts to him like they did to Tanahashi. I think Tanahashi in the last 2 years has really come into his own. Nakamura has been plagued with injuries. See, the problem with New Japan, and it is my favorite Japanese wrestling company, is this the disparity between the guys that draw money and the young stars. The young stars are so far from the popularity of the old stars. And there's a good reason for it. Back in the day, New Japan was on primetime television, you know, 7 o'clock. Now it's on, like, what, 2 in the morning on Samurai TV or whatever, which, you know, is only seen by 10% of the country. So you can't possibly expect, you know, Tanahashi to be as well-known as Choshu or Tenzan, or any of those guys even. But the problem is that, you know, those guys just can't deliver in the big matches anymore. So it's like, it's like a total paradox, so... The big thing with New Japan is, you know, the booking's been so much better recently, but the thing is that you just got to get them on some kind of national, you know, primetime TV, and maybe somebody will actually start to care about the guys. At least that's what I hope.
I hope so, too, because I know Noah doesn't try to run the dome, but Noah, right now this Noah show I'm watching, they don't have a very big house, but normally, from what I understand, they draw pretty big houses, but... I'm just not into the Here Comes Chris Hero. I guess it's a match where he breaks through space. But I'm just not into the Noah product at all. It seems I don't know. It's not All Japan. Like All Japan 91 in the early 90s, some of the best professional wrestling I've ever seen.
No doubt.
Noah, which was an offshoot of All Japan, It seems to me like they've found their identity. I just don't like their identity. I guess that's the best way for me to put it. And then All Japan, I'm not seeing any All Japan because the people who I trust and tell me to watch wrestling, they say there's nothing really out there to see. So,
yeah.
Have you seen any All Japan?
I did just watch a really good show. A show that had 2 really good matches from All Japan. The thing with All Japan now is the undercard is just abysmally, atrociously bad. But they had Kensuke versus Kawada in the main event, which was awesome. And they had Nakajima versus Silver King on the semi, which is also awesome. I think Nakajima, besides Tanahashi, is the best wrestler in Japan right now. He's so flawless and so good in the ring.
How old is Nakajima, do you know?
He's like 21, maybe 21. He started when he was like 16. He's incredible and just, I mean, gets better all the time. It blows my mind how good he is. I know you just said you're not a fan of the Noah product that much, but man, if you get a chance, check out Nakajima and Kensuke versus Go Shizaki and Kobashi. Incredible match. Incredible.
Oh, I believe it, because Kobashi, I mean, I'm not a fan of the Noah product, but Kobashi, he's still amazing, and I've not seen Nakajima, but I know that he's adopted by Kensuke, correct?
Yeah, more or less. Yeah. I don't know if he's like physically adopted as his son, but like he's definitely something. I think he's more like a Dick Grayson style ward, a la Robin and Batman, but I'm not positive on that. Don't quote me.
Okay, but definitely because Kensuke, I've not seen him real young, but. From the first time I started watching New Japan, And more specifically, when the New Japan guys came over to America, the one guy that always impressed me was Kensuke Sasaki.
Yeah, he's
and
awesome.
This is even before I knew, you know, what wrestling is or was or whatever. Just Kensuke always was awesome to me.
Yeah, he went through a span of a couple of years where I really didn't care. Like, if he was on the card, we wouldn't care. But, like, man, like, I don't know. Ever since he made his big, like, his big hurrah comeback and stuff, he has been awesome. Like, I collect action figures. You know, I'm not trying to get laid via this radio show, so I'll be honest. I collect wrestling action figures, and I've got 5 different Kensuke action figures on my wall because I'm just such a big fan of his, including Power Warrior, which I admit I did pay $80 for on eBay. So,
What's your favorite Kensuke match? Either let's do pre-2000. What's your favorite Kensuke match?
Pre-2000.
Then after that, we'll hit his comeback. Around what year did he come back? Was that 05?
He made, like, the big, like, hurrah comeback. I want to say, like, either 03 or 04. Yeah, somewhere in that time. I mean, I like the Hellraiser stuff. I was a big fan of that back in the day. I thought that was cool. I mean, he was no animal, but, I mean, you know, for what he did, I thought he was great. So any of those matches, I mean, them versus the Steiners was really good, and one of my real favorites, like, six-man, was him, Hawk, and Animal against, I think it was the Steiners and Scott Norton. Great match, you know, just, I mean, total, like, you know, Gaijin plus the one, you know, Native, and it was a really good match. It was at the Dome, I believe, either that or Sumo Hall. Awesome match. And Zombie, I didn't forget your question. I'm picking Team Fist, the Kings of Wrestling there, to go all the way. Taylor and Icarus and Okuma. Taking it this year.
Particular reason?
Not Colony. Colony. I call it the Colony. Actually, no. The Olsen team will win because WWE will not allow Colin Delaney to job.
No, he's off the show.
Colin's out.
They
Colin's out. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
What do you mean they wouldn't allow him the job? That's all he does is job.
Okay, we have another caller on the air from the 313. That's Detroit. That's got to be Casey. What's going on, Case?
See, I'm in Philadelphia, or not Philadelphia. I'm in Pennsylvania right now for King of Trios.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome.
Say hello to – give Wiggly a nice little kiss on the cheek from the Rubber Guard Radio crew.
He's actually – he's right next to me. I don't know if you guys were talking about King of Trios, but
– Actually, we were just giving our picks, so I went with the Colony.
Right on.
I'm going with Chuck Taylor, Okuma, and Icarus.
And Alex?
Oh, this is hard. I've been saying all week that I think it's going to be Lindsay's team, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Blackout won it. So I'm cheating and picking two teams, the Blackout or Lindsay's Luchadors.
Luchadors. Well, who's your pick, Case?
You know what? I'm still debating. I'm kind of leaning towards Demolition and the. but here, I'm gonna. I got some work to do, but I'm gonna give my phone to Wiggly, who is in charge of all the great production you see behind Chikara, as far as the video and the art element.
Awesome.
So yeah, here you go.
Cool.
Hey fellas,
Mr. Wiggly, welcome to Rubber Guard Radio. Thanks for making an appearance, brother.
Oh, well, you're welcome. It was all impromptu. We just got done doing our show there, the Smart Wrestling Fan gimmick, and Casey told me he was going to call in. I said, oh, that just sounds fantastic.
Cool. Well, everything's shaping up.
About your car there, too. That's great.
Hey, we're big fans of the product.
Right here.
We love the product. Alex, my co-host from San Diego, actually flew out to Chapter 11. So,
wow.
Yeah, he's
rather
dedicated.
I was like, I created 18 DVDs worth of content. Almost, we're going on our 100th podcast at GoGo, and that was just out of love because I certainly didn't see any type of ham sandwich or anything else from that. So I also have a love for this product. I think it's a great, great, just all around. You know, it's family friendly. And the talent that is involved is super, and of course you know the wackiness that goes on there.
That's
how
cool.
Has it been
that.
Seeing the rise in attendance this last year in Chikara shows?
How has been the rise of it?
Yes, the rise in attendance, because there's been an attendance rise in 07, correct?
There's been an attendance rise. There's been an increase in the sale of the DVDs and from Smart Mark point of view, and I can't speak for them, but from what I hear through the grapevine, is that the profit or the not even necessarily profit, but the popularity of the product and the buy through and all that compared to the last 3 years before 2007 did more in 2007 than all those years combined.
So what do you think that's attributed to, the rise of Chikara in 07?
Well, I can only attribute that to the fact that I became involved with Chikara. No, I would love it to say that, but, you know, it's all little bits. I mean, everything helps. You have a presence with the Chikara Podcast to go. And I think the fact that a lot of the talent got offered developmental deals with the big boys, and the shows that they've been putting on have just, you know, as far as the quality of the overall quality of each individual show, I think has improved greatly as well. The guys, they all want to, you know, they can't wait for this King of Trios. They can't wait for just about any event. If you the atmosphere backstage is everybody wants to do the greatest show they've ever done. So I think it's, you know, little bits of everything. We're in comic books. We were in the PWI 500 in an ad for, you know, the product, and the we were in released by the Best Of with Big Vision Entertainment. So I mean, you can walk down to your local store and find out about your car. You know, all these little bits, they all add up to one big push of the product. So,
what was your first exposure to the Chikara product?
That would be, I guess, the second year when they started doing shows. I it was in my local area. I saw an ad in the newspaper. It had Ultramantis back before he turned Rudos when he was still a Technico wrestler. And he had his big bug eyes, sort of looked like something out of Kamen Rider or some type of Japanese hero or something. I said, "Wow, this looks like if I put on a pure wrestling show." I was involved with Trapdoor. I'm still involved with Trapdoor, and we had wrestling intermixed with our music for years since 87. But if I could put on a pure wrestling show, I would put on Chikara. I said, "This already exists." I went to see some of their shows at the St. John's. They used to put it on in Allentown, and I was going ever since. So.
What are some of your earliest, when did you first start getting into wrestling?
Into wrestling?
Yeah.
In the 70s. Yeah, I used to go to WWE, well, of course, you were the WWF back then. They used to film in Agricultural Hall in Allentown. They would film their weekly show. They would film three shows per taping that would air on the television on Sunday mornings. And I used to go and meet all the guys there, Ivan Putski and Andre the Giant and Chief J. Strongbow and I wanted to impress you with the name of the human fly, and I can't remember his name. He only wrestled like two shows with the WWF, and he was one of my favorite guys, but he really didn't go anywhere. But I used to sit in the back bleacher, and right by where Gorilla used to come out from behind the curtain. And we'd be able to talk to the guys as they were coming out of the locker room. So I got to shake a lot of hands and meet a lot of people. And some of the wrestlers were dating people in my high school as well. So that was always awkward.
And so how did you attend any ECW shows?
ECW I didn't go to. Some of my friends did, though. I used to go down to Philly to see those.
Okay, any particular reason why you weren't into the ECW product?
Yeah, at that time I was going through a phase where I wasn't into violence at all. I got out of violence for a few years, so ECW would probably be at the top of the violence. But I used to see them in my friends' magazines, and then I slowly got into that product, and of course I would watch it every week. And I got into that around the time where Taz was just unstoppable, and yet Steve Austin was making his rounds there. Mikey Whipwreck story where he saw Steve Austin's sphincter and stuff like that. That's when I started getting in ECW.
Okay, so this weekend, the big King of Trios. What are some of your picks to win?
You know, I don't have any picks because I can't. I can't pick because I'm a terrible liar. I have no idea. But to be honest with you, I have no idea what's going to happen, what's going to be going on. I know who I would like to win, and it's sort of who Casey said. I would love to see, you know, Axis Demolition and One Man Gang. In fact, I would totally crap in my pants if Akeem came out instead of One Man Gang.
What are we all?
Know.
Say again.
You never
what are
know.
We all?
What
and if Split came out with them?
Yeah, that would be fantastic. But I do have to tell you, I'll give you an exclusive, and that is that, you know, there's a couple trios teams whose third partner were not able to fulfill their obligation, so they're going to pick names out of a hat at the King of Trios, probably on night one or night two or night three, whenever. I would think it would be a night one or night two. And some of the names that are going into the hat will just make anyone go out of their mind. So there's going to be a lot of surprises that you know, haven't even been publicized at all, because if these names get picked, I don't know if, you know, they will or not, but it's going to be a real event to attend, and I'm sure people will be there with their Blackberries and whatnot, you know, putting it right up on the internet as far as some of these situations that are going to come up.
I hate it because I'm going to have to stay away from spoilers until the DVDs come out. Since you can't give a winner, what matches are you most looking forward to in the first round?
I'm not the one to talk to about this, because I got to tell you, to be honest with you, I've been working so hard on the Trios stuff. And I'm going to be filming all the interviews. I'm going to be shooting the next podcast of Go-Go live at the event and at the fan conclave, that I haven't even had a chance to look at what the lineups are. I don't even know who's going to be in the first rounds or whatever. I have no idea. I know Kaiju is going to be there. I know Axe and Smash. I know some of the teams, but I don't even know the lineups yet. I haven't had an opportunity to look on the website yet.
From what I understand, it's a fan conclave. There's going to be Fire Pro there. And how versed are you in Fire Pro, and who's your favorite character to play as?
I've been into Fire Pro since it came out for the Saturn, Fire Pro Six-Man Scramble, that is, because I think that's the first time it was ever like the new Fire Pros are, where they followed that type of format. The ones before for the Super Nintendo or Super Famicom and the PC Engine, TurboGrafx. Those versions are, you know, they were okay, but it really met its stride in the Six-Man Scramble on the Saturn. And to me, I still think that has some of the most exciting logic built into it, still on the Sega Saturn version. I of course, built all of Trapdoor way before I knew the Chikara guy, so, you know, it's as soon as you can build yourself in a wrestling game, I think that's who you stick with. And there's a couple different versions of Wiggly on there, a couple iterations with a mask, without a mask. I also build a bionic Bigfoot. I like to play as him sometimes. So it's all cause, man. It's all cause with that game.
Mm-hmm. My favorite tag team is Eddie Guerrero, E-D-D-Y, and Love Machine, Art Bar. I made Gringos Locos, and they are my kick-ass tag team. They are unbeatable.
Dude, have you gotten deep into the logic of it? Do you like creating your own wrestlers in that, or?
Not yet. I have yet to. I've only created, you know, actual workers. I have not, other than myself, I've created Alex, my co-host, and I've made a mini version of me, which is my son. So, you know, it's KZ Sito, and he's.
Does that have a whole storyline behind it?
Oh, well, he's a Rudo.
Oh, okay.
So,
wow.
He's the king of the low blows.
Fantastic.
Yeah, he's the total opposite of his old man. So,
you know, when I first got the Six-Man Scramble for the Saturn, it just blew my mind, because I was like, I'm actually putting in logic for how my character would their breathing would be during bloodshed. This is the ultimate wrestling game ever created.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. 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 Any more questions, Alex?
You got the floor, KZ.
Oh, hey, it is my show again. It's not the Alex Sane show anymore. Okay, well, let's keep on the topic of Fire Pro. Who is your favorite in-game character?
Giant Machine. Is Giant Machine in the new version?
I don't know who he is.
Oh, Andre the Giant Yeah, I think one of his costumes alterations were when he had the machine mask when he was Giant Machine. So I like to be Giant Machine. I like to be Strong Machine.
How about
make the American translations at all?
Yeah. My game's completely translated. I don't have a pack because I don't have Action Replay or any of the replay devices, but Alex does, and Alex has got the saves from hell, from what I hear. But yeah, I do need to jump into the year 2008 and get a save device. I just sit there and but it is most definitely the greatest line of wrestling games ever created. 2D or not, it doesn't matter. It's still the logic. I agree with you, Wiggly, on the logic. It's just insane.
And the amount of moves that they have in the newer version is just, you know, phenomenal.
Exactly. I mean, how many versions of a Northern Lights suplex are in there?
Yeah.
Especially the Suzuki special, man. Or the Minoru special is the best.
I also mentioned Underliger. You know, you got to love that guy. So.
Okay. All right. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to wrap up with you, Wiggly, because we do have callers on the line that are waiting to come on. This is a potpourri show, so.
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me on, and get out to King of Trios if you can. It's going to be a packed show and full of action.
Those that are in anywhere in the East Coast, I know there should still be tickets available, so go out and support not only Chikara but all your indies. But this weekend belongs to Chikara. Out to the ECW Arena. I can't call it the New Alhambra. It's the ECW Arena. Go and support Quack and the Boys, and you're not going to get any more bang for your buck. And that's not me putting the product over because Wiggly's on the phone. You can ask anybody. I'm a huge Chikara mark. And boy, did I pop when Shane Storm got his mouth busted open. I never liked that guy. And, you know. But, Wiggly, thank you for coming on. Can you hand the phone to Casey for me?
Yeah, here you go.
Thank you, sir.
Hello?
Casey, man love for you. Thank you for having the man Wiggly on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm glad it worked out. And also, another reason to go to King of Trios, as if there wasn't enough, you can buy Revolution stuff, because that's what I'm doing there.
There you go. Actually, we're going to – how about this? How about we give away a pack from our friends at Revolution?
Mm-hmm.
Show number one, number two, and number three, my Spanish best. I'm not going to announce whatever the titles were. But
yeah.
Revolution
yeah.
one, two, and three. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to run this contest until 9 p.m. Pacific time on Wednesday. You can email me directly at rubberguardradio@yahoo.com. And what we'll do is we'll put the names in a hat, and I'll pull them out, and I will give you three DVDs. And you will not be disappointed. I watched the Santo Parca cage match again today.
Yeah.
I love mask ripping. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, yeah.
So
mask ripping and skeletons.
Yep. Can't go wrong there. Plus, I watched the mini match, too. That was pretty fun. You know, the minis are the minis. But,
I'm glad this worked out. And, anyone that's listening, make it to King of Trios. It's going to be amazing. Can't wait.
Cool. Casey, I will give you a buzz tomorrow.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in and covering
my
guest. My
pleasure, brother.
Thanks
for having us.
Not a problem, brother.
Later.
All right. Now, that was fun. Okay, I'm running in the house. You can hear the echo in the hall. Okay. Well, that was a pretty interesting discussion. What do you think, Alex?
About King of Trios? That was good stuff. I can't believe that... It's real busy in Chikara Land if Wiggly didn't know all the matches or whatever, but seems like the guys are really planning, so it should be an awesome. Like I said, I'm just upset I'm going to have to stay away from spoilers for about a month until the DVD comes out, but
I won't. But, let's see. Okay, anything else going on? How's that Noah show you're watching?
What's that?
How's that Noah show? Did you get to watch the hero match?
Oh, yeah, I just saw that. Right now it's the Briscoes and Misawa, and it's weird seeing the Briscoes on one corner and Misawa on the other.
It's a pretty fun match. What did you think of Hero killing that guy?
Oh, honestly, I wasn't watching it too deeply.
Okay, it was a sick roaring elbow, and then they went pretty much right to the finish. But, yeah, he killed him. He crushed his face. But those that are listening, our guest Vito DiNucci is under the weather. So for the next hour and 24 minutes or so, we're going to have the phone lines open. Area code 347-215-7946. And once again, we are running that Revolucha contest. You can email me at rubberguardradio@yahoo.com and say you want entry into the drawing, and I will give away a 3-disc set of Revolucha, which is some of the fun stuff I've ever watched. And Alex, we'll have to sit later on this weekend and watch some of it. It's pretty wacky.
Okay.
It's fun stuff. We do have a caller on the line from the 210. Caller, welcome to Rubber Guard Radio. Whom am I speaking with?
This is the world's most famous wrestling call-in show caller ever, dude. It's Ed in San Antonio.
Oh, it's Ed.
What's going on, S.A.? Welcome to
Rubber Guard. Just listening to the show, and I just heard the other guy that was just on, Wiggly. Is this the dude that I've read posts where people are always bitching that he's always ripping on Brian?
I don't know. I don't know anything about that.
I was actually at the Chikara Chapter 11 show, and I didn't want to bring this up on the air, but Wiggly was actually a large contingent. Actually, you know what, honestly, most of the people at Chapter 11 were behind Sweeney, and from what I understand, it's because he's a hometown boy. But I know Wiggly in particular gave me a look when I was cheering very loudly for Brian. So,
ooh, that's funny.
It is what it is.
That's cool.
All right, Ed, you have the office. What do you want to talk about?
I just wanted to say, you take a lot of heat on the website, so I wanted to come out and say I think you guys do a really good job, man. Like that Vito DiNucci from the last show, that interview was fucking awesome. And, I'm glad you guys are doing what you do, man. And fuck all these guys, they're always giving you a hard time on the Figure Four online board, man.
I have to say, we pull out a decent show from time to time because we get good guests. It's not because of us. Vito was awesome, and hopefully Vito gets better because I'd like to talk to him again because we just scratched the surface on a lot of stuff that I wanted to talk to him about, and hopefully it gets better. Ed, you're planning a big Las Vegas convention.
Oh, yeah, on Memorial Weekend, pretty much May 22nd through the 26th, we'll be having an F4W convention in Vegas, and I've had a few people back out the last couple of days, but we're still looking at over 20 members should be there for sure, so
okay.
it should be a cool little thing going on.
Yeah, I'm really excited because this will be my second UFC show. I actually have to pay for this one because the last one I went to, it was free because they did it on the Marine base here. We had an Ultimate Fight Night here. But what's going to be the – do you know what the main event for that show is going to be that we're going to?
Oh, yeah, the main event's going to be – there's three matches that they've announced, and the main match is BJ Penn will be fighting Sean Sherk for the
– I hope he whoops Sean Sherk's ass.
Oh, I hope he commits murder. I hope he fucking murders his ass in the ring, dude. And shit, fuck Sean Sherk. I mean, the guy is a good athlete. He's a decent fighter. But the way he just keeps going on and on about how he's innocent from taking steroids when everything he says gets proven wrong and he just won't admit it. It's just like, admit you fucked up, admit it, dude. Just take your suspension, live with it, deal with it, come back. Don't be a little crybaby bitch.
I kind
of hope like BJ beats his ass, puts him in a submission, and right when he's gonna tap, I hope BJ does like a wrestling thing and just lets go, like gets up from the pin, and just keeps beating him some more. And he does that a few times. But so a couple other matches. Another big match is Wanderlei Silva is going to be fighting Keith Jardine. So that should be a good match, you know. Wanderlei's coming off the loss of from Liddell. And hopefully he'll be coming back strong. He'll be taking on Jardine, who beat Liddell. So I'm sure whoever wins this fight might be in line for a title very soon. And the other big match is could possibly be Tito Ortiz's last match in the UFC. He'll be fighting, I really don't know how to say the guy's name, Machida.
Lyoto Machida.
Yeah, he'll be fighting him. That guy's undefeated, but he's kind of a boring fighter and no one really likes him. And I personally love Tito. He's a dude. I met him once. He's a really good guy. He gets a very bad rap about being an asshole, but no, he was one of the. He's the coolest fighter I've ever met, except for Matt Serra. And I hope he kicks his ass, and I hope he flips Dana off while he walks out the cage door and shit.
Is that
I
the
cannot
end
believe.
Antonio Lock?
I wonder if Tito's going to come in under a different company's T-shirt when he walks in.
Oh, that'd be awesome. That would be awesome if he did, like if he came in with XLE or IFL or whatever. Hey, whatever it is, you know. That'd be a good fuck you to Dana, man. Yeah, it should be good. We're planning we're going to have a big dinner that Friday night there at Gallagher's in New York, New York. And I'm working on trying to do something here. I don't know if we'll be able to do it, but I'm going to hopefully have this a big surprise. I won't go into too much right now, but hopefully we'll have a big surprise for old Chico there.
That sounds awesome. And
embarrass the shit out of him. But, yeah, it should be cool. But let me ask you guys a question. I kept trying to call Brian and Meltzer and Fritz, and I kept trying to ask them about the World Class DVD, and none of them had seen it yet. Have you guys seen it yet?
Oh, yes, yeah, we've seen it.
Good stuff.
Yeah, what do you guys think about it? What did you think were the best parts of it?
Kevin Von Erich. I never want to see another Kevin Von Erich interview because, one, it's really sad seeing him recount a lot of those memories that he went through because, unlike, you know, it was very sad seeing Gary Hart talk about the death of Gino Hernandez, but Gary Hart and Gino Hernandez weren't related. As to where Kevin Von Erich, these are all his brothers that he's talking about. And then some of the strongest bonds you have growing up is, you know, between you and a close brother in some cases, which it seems to be the case with Kevin. And it's unfortunate having to hear him recount, you know, his brother's death time and time again. And also that Kevin, it seems like he tries to kayfabe a lot of stuff about his brothers and how bad, you know, him and his brothers really were. And it gets to the point now where he's almost believing it. And then also, I was very offended by Bill Mercer's comment about the death of, I want to say it was Chris Von Erich, the younger Von Erich, about how he committed suicide because he didn't think he could hold up the Von Erich name, even though he had never lost a match. I don't know why that comment came out of Mercer, but those are my two biggest negatives about the DVD. Overall, it's an awesome DVD. I think it's an awesome companion to the Heroes of World Class, which definitely gets deeper into the subject. I would like to, you know, unfortunately, it would never be sold as a double disc, but I mean, I think that's the preferred method of watching it, is to buy both discs together. And definitely, I think it's a really, really good, overall good DVD. I would still suggest the Heroes of World Class over it. But my favorite thing about the WWE version, though, is it did show a whole lot more Gino Hernandez, which I've not been able to get that much footage of Gino, but I think Gino, he's just an awesome, awesome guy. His in-ring wasn't the best ever, and his elbow drop off the top was probably the sloppiest elbow I'd ever seen. And what I understand from watching it the gold, it's because they had the hard rings or whatever, but he took a horrible elbow. But Gino, his promos and just him being Gino is just amazing and definitely something I watch, you know, because, I mean, I'm a half-assed pro wrestler, and definitely I try to emulate Gino a lot. Because Gino's really someone I look up to.
Yeah, Gino was awesome. I had the pleasure of seeing him wrestle even before then. I used to see him when he wrestled here with Tully Blanchard, and they were the original dynamic duo. And I remember at that time, Gino was like the star, and Tully was just coming up and stuff. But, yeah, Gino was awesome, dude. He was one of my favorites, dude. It's, you know, it's a shame what happened to him and stuff. And I agree, it is very hard watching Kevin. There's a... Like, there's a, I remember there's one part where he makes a statement about, like, that's how the cookie crumbles or something like that. And he just tries to give this smile, but you could just see, you know, the pain and stuff. So I feel real bad for him. And,
What was going on with Jimmy Garvin? Michael Hayes was kind of, Jimmy Garvin, I remember that one combat in particular where he said that Fritz always went to the bank, and Michael kind of acted like Jimmy was dumb for making that statement.
Jimmy was telling the truth right there, you know. Fritz didn't I don't think he really cared about anything except the money. I mean, yeah, he cared about the money more than he cared about keeping his sons in a straight line and trying to do a little, you know, being a better father than he fucking was. I mean, I love the boys, but as far as Fritz, man, I just have the utmost disdain and hatred for the man. Just because, you know, I blame him. I mean, yeah, you know, everyone does what they do on their own and shit, and they were grown people, but, you know, they could have been steered a little right, you know. But,
He's the one that had a lot of the stuff covered up, so, you know, he's as much to blame as the guy, as the kids.
Yeah. Oh, definitely,
you know?
Yeah. And then, you know, the way he exploded everything, and then, like, the heart attack angle.
That wasn't a heart attack, was it? Kevin said it wasn't a heart attack.
They said heart attack on the air.
But by the time they got to that point, I wasn't watching it as hardcore as I had been, but from what I remember, it was they might not have said heart attack, but they always gave health updates, like, every week about him being better or him being worse, so, I mean, they might not have actually said it, but that's what they implied, and that's what everyone thought. I mean, that's what I thought happened back in the day.
Actually, you know what? I we're talking about heart attack angles, and I just bought Royal Rumble 97, which was actually at the Alamo Dome in Texas, and they were showing highlights of this. Oh, really? You were front row for that one?
Yeah, well, I was like third row for that.
Oh, wow. And they were showing highlights of that year's Survivor Series, and I forgot, but didn't they do a heart attack angle with Jose Lothario with the Survivor Series with Sid hitting him with the camera?
I think they did. I'm thinking they did. I don't really remember, but I'm pretty sure they did.
It's happened amazing.
A few times since then. You know,
what are some other heart attack angles? I remember that one, and then I remember. I never saw the Fritz one.
Then didn't Ric Flair have almost actually have a heart attack on the show one time on Monday?
No. It was a way to get him out so he could have his shoulder surgery. He got hurt in New Japan on tour, and it was the way that they wrote him out to get his shoulder done.
Uh huh. Oh, I know what else. Showed him Benjamin's mama had a heart attack or something.
God.
Well, I don't think anyone had to be serious.
Man.
Hey, KC, what are your thoughts on the World Class DVD?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Not me.
Yeah.
WWE put their slant on it, but those that would go to the same retailers to buy that set would have also gotten the World Class set by the Heroes, because I've seen in a few stores that they were put right directly next to each other. So people would go in and buy not just one, they would buy both. And then they, like Alex said, they both, you know, they're great companions. Same as the WWE ECW and the Forever Hardcore. They were both, you know, good companions. I think that the story has pretty much been told. I was impressed with the WWE one because I definitely needed a video quality upgrade for the Flair Carry Cage Christmas night. I did need an upgrade of that footage. So I applaud them for putting that on. And if they would not have put that match on that set, it wouldn't have worked. The whole set would not have worked because that was the angle that jump-started that territory into what it became. Now, Vince was smart to put that on there because if he wouldn't have, the set wouldn't have been shit. What do you think?
Yeah, that's true. Man, I remember, all these memories are coming back to that time. I mean, I remember I was actually at, it was either, you know, Michael Hayes says he only came in for two shows. I'm thinking that his first show was here in San Antonio. And I remember him coming out and cutting a promo and, you know, I just remember, because back then it was basically, it was just the Von Erich and Kabuki, and then you had guys like Irwin or just Hussein, you know,
Bundy.
A bunch of, you know, guys who weren't like, yeah, Bundy too. Bundy was kind of big, but I think he was leaving around that time. And then from the Fevers came in, that was just when he started to get more talent. You know, you got them, you got Jimmy Garvin came in, and then, you know, a few other people, Chris Adams, Iceman.
Yeah.
That was like right at the time when they just started to explode. And I remember, man, I used to go to this place down here, the Freeman Coliseum, or as Michael Hayes would call it back in the day, Joe Henry and Your Mama's Place. And
I remember the Fort Worth TVs. The promos were awesome because they did have the two shows. They had the one that aired in Dallas, and Fort Worth had their own TV, and it was different. With the promos were, I don't know what it was. The boys seemed to bring out something different as far as for the Fort Worth TV. I don't understand what it was. I guess the Dallas people. Market, they didn't, you know, they just had the Von Erichs on top. They didn't need anything to draw. But
I have a question for Ed. Segueing away from World Class,
mm-hmm.
This is a popular question of mine. What other DVDs would you like to see WWE release that they haven't yet? Just personal favorites. Don't worry about what they would sell. Just personal favorites.
Okay, well, I would really like to see the Von Erich Freebird feud and have them put about maybe 10 or a dozen matches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they had like maybe one or two on this DVD, and but they didn't have, you know, there's a strap match with David Von Erich and Terry Gordy that was awesome. There was just countless other matches. There's the one at the Firecracker Spectacular. It was like a 2 out of 3 that was fucking incredible. And I like to see a DVD of just like matches of the two teams. I'd also like to see a Tommy Dreamer versus Raven feud DVD.
I think that would be awesome.
I didn't get ECW at that time. I just remember reading about it on the freaking After Mags, and you know, I always heard so much about it. And, you know, and you know, I've seen you know, some DVDs that they've put out, whether it's a match here or a match there. And you know, I've learned a little bit, but I would like to see like the whole history of that feud, because it was a long feud and a lot of shit happened on that one. I think that would be cool.
There is a set floating around. I will call you after the show. So.
Oh, cool. I'd also like to see a Ricky Steamboat, like a Best of Ricky Steamboat, the Ricky Steamboat story.
Oh, yeah.
Ricky's been one of my favorites. I remember watching him and Jay Youngblood against.
Oh, yeah.
Going in this year?
I think, I'm not sure. I think for.
They could hold back. It's Flair's show, we know that. I would hold back on Steamboat this year, start production on a set for him, and then put him in next year and release it around Hall of Fame time.
That would be business-wise. Yeah, and I'm trying to think. I'd also like to see a best of, like, the 80s tag teams and, you know, just have not just WWE tag team. I'm talking about, you know, have them do a thing with Midnight Express, the Fantastics, the Sheepherders, not the Bushwhackers, and
the Rockers.
The Rockers, Fabulous Ones, like the Steamboat, Youngblood.
What was your favorite incarnation of the Midnight Express?
As far as the match quality, I'd go with Eden and Lane. But it depends. I mean, I love the Fantastics and their feud in World Class when it was Eden and Condrey. That was a good feud. But I think as far as match wise, I'd go Eden and Lane.
Mm. And you know, you cannot argue the fact that Condrey and Eden drew money in Mid South. You cannot argue that fact. They'd lit that territory on fire. And not just with the rock and rolls. They did the thing before with Watts. They did the thing with Wrestling 2 and Magnum. You know, those guys, you know, I don't think they get enough credit. I think the Midnight Express, Condrey and Eaton, I think, would probably be the greatest tag team ever.
Yeah, pretty close to it, man. I mean,
at least in the top five. And there's an argument for them to be number one.
Yeah, oh, definitely, you know. But of course, there are, like you say, there are other tag teams where you could say that. But it's just all, what do you call it, your personal opinion and stuff.
Exactly.
But that's
what makes discussions fun, Ed.
Oh yeah, like I don't think this team that I'm about to say is. I don't think a lot of people would put them up there because they weren't there for as long. But had Eddie and Art Barr stay together for a few more years?
Yes.
You could definitely make an argument for them to be.
It's a shame because when Art died, they were ready to. They were just about to go to New Japan as a tag team, and they would have just ruled it, and they would have went on to also work ECW, and then you know they would have followed the same career path as Eddie, and it was a shame. You can get a 3-disc set of Los Gringos Locos. BobBarnett.com. Buy that set.
I don't think Eddie would have became what he became if Art would have stayed alive.
Oh, he definitely. Eddie had no personality back in those days in AAA.
No,
he had no personality whatsoever. All the personality
was
Art. Eddie was just a worker. And what Eddie became, you see so much of what he took from Art. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it was
That's
almost
exactly
like watching.
What happened. I got that feeling, Ed, that when Art passed away, he for somehow, some way, he merged with Eddie, and then Eddie moved on. It's just amazing, really, because you could look at Eddie's later work, and you see a lot of Art, and it's really creepy. You know, it really is, but you know, it's a shame that Art left so early. You know, he was just getting started.
Oh, definitely. I mean, there's just so many guys who left early. I mean, that, like him, Eddie Gilbert, Pillman, David Von Erich. I mean, a lot of groundbreakers died way before their time, man. And it's sad because, you know, wrestling would be totally different now if a lot of these guys would have survived, you know.
Yeah, definitely
agree.
Yeah. And we're talking about tag teams. Let me throw my dream tag team out, and then maybe you guys can see what you guys think about that. My dream tag team would have been David Von Erich and Terry Funk.
I haven't seen them as heels, right?
Yeah, as heels. I know David and Dory teamed up, but I think David and Terry, because David was like a younger, more athletic version of Terry Funk. And I think them as heels would have just been one of the greatest heel tag teams ever, you know.
They would have killed Dusty.
Yeah, that would have been an awesome.
They would have killed
feud.
The fat man. Wow.
It's unfortunate, Terry Gordy, you know, speaking of Texas and world class, it's unfortunate. I don't think people give Terry Gordy enough credit for as good as he was, because honestly, he's one of the best wrestlers I've seen in my lifetime. Terry was just amazing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Terry was freaking awesome. I'll never forget this one time. It was at that Freeman Coliseum. It was Terry Gordy and Chick Donovan against Killer Khan and General Skandar Akbar. And Terry and Killer were going at it. I swear to God, I thought they were fighting for real. I literally thought they – because Chick Donovan and Akbar, they stopped fighting. They started watching like everyone else. And I remember I almost got thrown out because I started tilting Akbar with popcorn and shit. But I swear to God, I thought they were fighting for real. Nothing about that with what went on in front of me looked fake at all. They were jacking the shit out of each other. It was intense and it was brutal. And I was like, you know, at that time I was already starting to figure out that wrestling wasn't real. But when I saw that, I was like, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe everyone else is wrong. Maybe this shit is real, you know.
All right, everything else is fake, but that's real.
Yeah, no shit. All right, Ed, we're going to knock you off the line so we can go to our hour break. Thank you for gracing us. We are now officially over. You have called into Observer Live, you called in Between the Ropes, and you have called into Rubber Guard Radio. So we are officially over. Thanks for calling in, Ed.
No problem, man.
You'll call in again.
No problem, man. Talk to you guys soon.
All right,
I'll
brother.
See you in
Vegas. All righty, we've gone through 1 hour so far. We're going to hit our one-hour break. The second hour is – actually, you know what? I missed to plug the sponsor in the first hour. The first hour of Rubber Guard Radio was brought to you by our sponsor, WrestleWarehouse.com. If you need Lucha masks, DVDs, all kinds of swag. Go to WrestleWarehouse.com and tell Jeff, the owner, that KZ from Rebel Guard Radio sent you. And the second hour is brought to you by our very brand spanking new sponsor, FogCityWrestling.com. I'm not going to hold anything back. I got into bed with Fog City this morning, and I am very happy and proud that I have. Rebel Guard Radio will be going through some changes in the very near future as far as guests are concerned. We'll be getting – I'm not going to drop any names, but we're going to be getting a few higher-profile guests. That's all I'm going to say there. So, once again, check them out, FogCityWrestling.com. All right, well, now we're done with paying the bills. Wow, that was quite a talk with Ed there. That was interesting.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm happy we were able to get into some world-class TV discussion because he's wanted to do that for a while, and Brian and Fritz hadn't watched the DVD yet, and I watched the DVD when it first came out, so happy we were able to finally have that discussion with him.
Cool, cool. Okay, now, since we launched our website, rubberguardradio.com, we do have a couple blogs posted so far. We have one by Vengeance David Fuller talking about being smaller in the business on the independent level. It's a pretty good read. Tomorrow morning we will have another blog posted by myself, and who the hell knows what's going to go on in that one. And also we'll have one posted by Seattle-based independent worker, Matt Farmer, which should be fun. Let's see, do we have any callers on the line? We do. This must be the boss man, Jeff. What's going on, Jeff? Jeff? Can you hear me? Okay, let me patch Jeff in here. Okay, I am long-winded. Since we did launch our website, we are giving away a prize pack, three Revolucha DVDs. You can email me your info, and we're going to put it all into a hat, and we're going to do a drawing 9 p.m. Pacific on Wednesday. I'll do the drawing. And the email address is rubberguardradio@yahoo.com. And what's going on, Jeff?
What's up, man?
How you doing, brother?
Good. Is this the Alex Saint Show? Did I call the right number?
Every day.
Yes, you did. I'm going to step out and have a beer while you guys talk. So
we went to LOI on Sunday, Jeff. What are some thoughts of that show on Sunday?
Yes.
I thought it was a fun show. It was the second show in a row with Psychosis, and he's always fun to see.
Have you Psychosis seen the card for the next LOI show?
What's that?
Have you seen the card for the next LOI show?
I glanced at it. I really couldn't tell you who's on it though. I did see a
big level main eventer on there.
What's that?
He's not having a big level luchador on there from what I've seen.
I do remember seeing Super Astro on there.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
I couldn't tell you who was facing who, though. I do remember him, though.
I know Petty Officer Jones is booked. Is that the same day as he is? When is that show?
That show's on the 9th.
Okay.
It's in 2 weeks.
So, if you're in the Oceanside area, go check out the LLI show. It'll be a good time.
It's at the Show Palace right off Mission, off the 5.
They're doing better and better every show, I have to say that.
Yeah, you know what, the shows are getting better and better. There's more and more and more and more fans that are coming every single show. It's really turning into a great thing for LOII and obviously San Diego for, you know, a company that's growing and growing every, you know, they're running two shows a month. And they're getting more and more people every show, so that really should show you something. People are definitely getting behind them.
Caller, jump in.
Hello?
Who am I speaking with? This is Superfan Paul.
Yeah, what's up? How's it going?
What's up, brother?
Oh, Paul.
Hey, what's up, Alex?
Awesome. We can talk about the Epic show now.
Yeah, that's what I was.
Fun,
gonna,
boys.
That's what I was going to call and talk to you guys about.
How was Eddie Hart Live?
So for anybody who doesn't know, there was an Epic show in Newhall on Saturday night, and they, what are they, Alex? They run once a month.
Yeah, I think they run once a month.
Cool.
How was it seeing Teddy Hart live?
Oh, that was fun. Like that one move, like, it was basically, what did he get him in a fisherman suplex, and then he DDT'd him?
Remember? Oh, yeah. And well, then, I remember the powerbomb onto the knees, too. That
yeah,
was
the
insane.
The powerbomb into a backcracker or whatever.
How was it seeing the Young Bucks' heel?
That was kind of different. Like, they didn't seem like heels to me, you know? Like, but, you know, when they were on the mic, like, yeah, they got some heel heat, you know, like, they were, you know, talking about Marcus Riot, you know, and Teddy Hart, you know, getting heel heat from, you know, making fun of them. But, yeah, I didn't really, you know, see them as heels. I guess, I have to see more of them as heels.
I thought what did you think about it, Jeff?
To me, I didn't really see them as heels at all. Just because they're over so well as faces, really. Even when they were talking crap on the mic, I thought they were still coming off as being baby faces. They were just being cocky baby faces.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they even the Umbop song still as heels. I mean, if they had like some, you know, different music. Or
yeah, if they're gonna be heels, they need to come out to like Megadeth or something like that.
Well, you know what? There's one thing that we do need to talk about. Something very serious happened at the Epic Show. Devilishly Sexy.
Devilishly Sexy is awesome, and for anybody who hasn't seen them yet, you need to look them up and see when they're going to be coming back as a trio, because the three of them were just unbelievable together. They pretty much made the show for me, other than seeing Teddy Hart live for the first time, but I thought those guys were just, they really did put on an awesome show.
We saw the Cutler brothers at the AWS show a couple weeks ago. It was me, Paul, Jeff. And the Cutler brothers, they were doing a wacky workout gimmick that didn't – it was okay. It was what it was. But seeing them come out with Sexy Sonny Samson, I'd never seen so much personality in those guys. That was just amazing.
It really was a good gimmick, and they really played it off really well. They really did.
I mean,
you know what? I don't think there's any much more to say about it, except you have to just see it live.
It was the funniest stuff I'd ever seen in my life.
So
every other like spot was like just like they were doing like gay stuff. You know, it was just like hilarious. You know, got them over like with the crowd and. So Suburban Commandos, yeah, I mean, that was the first time seeing them, and, yeah, I mean, those guys can work really well, especially the skinny guy. I don't know, you know, what his name is, but, yeah, the guy can work. And
yeah, they're really good. They're from up here. They're from Sacramento.
Oh, yeah?
And,
I'm telling you, you didn't
yeah.
see the best of the Commandos. The Commandos were much better than what they were on Saturday.
Yes.
And so how about Nikki and Cholo? What are your thoughts on that match?
Well, I thought it was a pretty good, you know, they had a more lucha style, you know, like, you know, and haven't seen too much of Nikki's work. I mean, I saw her at Viva Lucha, like, last year. She was in a tag team match with, I believe, the little guy from Nacho Libre, and then Kenneth LeRae had another mini with her. It was a pretty fun match, you know, like, women in the match, and then they had the minis. So, yeah, it was pretty fun. But I haven't seen, like, too much of her work, you know, as a singles wrestler. But, yeah, it was a pretty good match. She took a hard bump, like, to the side of the ring. You remember that spot?
That wasn't just a hard bump. That was a power bomb to the side of the ring
yeah.
on the outside.
That's what it was.
That made people look away, that power bomb.
Yeah.
I have to say, I've seen Nikki Russell because I guess I don't know exactly. I guess her gimmick in Epic is that she ruffles guys, and I've seen her against Joey Ryan and against Ryan Drago. And Joey did the stick, which I mean he could stick anybody in the stick, and then it'll work. It'll be a Joey match, and then Ryan Drago. It was definitely different, but Drago didn't work her style, and Cholo worked Nikki's style, and that was the best I had seen of Nikki live. And I have to say, Cholo, from what I've seen, what are your opinions on Little Cholo?
I've only seen, like, couple of his matches, like not live. I mean, I believe the last time I saw Cholo was at the AWS, and then before the AWS show, a couple years ago in Arizona, he had a four-way match with R2K and I think Silver Tiger was in it, and another guy, and it was a pretty good match. Like since those guys, Junior, that's who the other guy was. It was an elimination match, and the two guys at the end were Lil Cholo and Junior. And since they, you know, they work well with each other, you know, in the past, and then they, you know, work a lot with each other in WPW. It's a pretty good match. You know, it was, you know, a lot of high flying and lucha style, and seeing Cholo do the Cholo special for the first time live, it was pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, he's a pretty good luchador. I mean, lucha style wrestler. But yeah, that's all I've seen of him. Just like, you know, two matches. The other match from AWS, he fought Hardcore Kid Aaron Aguilera.
Enough about the epic show. I didn't break some news earlier. I announced some news earlier that it seems that Carl Machine Gun Anderson is going to start taking dates from New Japan Pro Wrestling. I don't know how familiar either of y'all are with Japan, but what do you think about Carl going to Japan?
I think it's a you know, if it's, you know, what's he want to do with his career, you know. I give him credit, you know, like to see more of him in SoCal, you know. I mean, he's only done a couple of shows for SoCal Pro, and you know, he got over really well in SoCal Pro. You know, his last match that he did was against Alcatraz back in June, and, you know, fans, like, enjoyed, you know, the match, and they enjoy, you know, Carl Anderson being there, and I just, you know, would like him to, you know, do one more show if that's possible. But I don't know if he's able to, since, you know, he's taking you know, going to Japan. But yeah, you know, that's what he wants to do. So what do you think about him going to Japan?
I think Carl's awesome. I've seen Carl does a lot of crowd talking and stuff like that, and it's just gonna be really interesting seeing Carl in Japan. I definitely think he'll fit, because he trained for a while at the New Japan Dojo, and I definitely think that he knows how to work in Japanese style. It's going to be very interesting. I want to see how much of the machine gun gimmick that he's able to get out in Japan. I'm very interested to see it.
Do you know how long he plans to stay? I mean, like he said, it's going to be for, I don't know how long. I read his blog, and he said, like, you know, he's just, you know, done with U.S. For, you know, for a certain amount of time, but do you know anything about that?
No, I've not heard anything about that. I just heard the blog where he referenced some New Japan wrestlers and kind of said that's where he was going, and I'm just really excited about the prospects of Carl in New Japan. It's going to be good stuff, so definitely.
I have to agree with you on that, Alex. I think it could be really good for him in the long run, to get himself out there internationally. I mean, he's made a name for himself around here. A lot of people know who he is. He's wrestled all over the country. And, you know, so it's pretty much the next step for him.
So, Jeff, you seen any good DVDs lately?
Good DVDs? I just watched, today I watched the new Rambo movie.
How was that?
It was good. It was very good. I'm a big Rambo fan. I don't want to get anybody in trouble for, you know, bootlegging, so I won't mention where I got it from, but thank you if you're listening.
Paul, have you seen any good DVDs lately?
Well, not wrestling-wise, but yeah, I mean, I just rented this movie called Chaos. It's with Jason Statham, the guy from Transporter, Wesley Snipes, and Ryan Phillippe. And it's pretty good, you know, action movie. It's like a cop movie, and there's like a twist at the end. You know, I'm not gonna give it away, but you know, if you want to check it out, it's pretty good movie.
I actually just bought American Gangster. I've not seen it yet, but I'm really excited to watch it. It looks like a really good movie with Denzel Washington in it. and Russell Crowe, and I'm really excited to see that movie.
Have you seen War with, yeah, with Jason Statham and Jet Li?
No, how is that?
Oh, there, that has another twist to it. Like, I don't know, his Jason Statham movies, like the ones I've seen, like Chaos and War, yeah, they have like twists at the end, and it kind of has the same story in both of them, but I mean, you know, different, like, you know, actors in it, but yeah, I mean, it has the same kind of story. I mean, he's a cop, and you know, there's something that goes wrong with like who he's associated with, and then you know, the end has like a twist. But yeah, you should, you know, check them out.
You know,
well, I think we should get back on the wrestling talk a little bit.
Well, I was gonna get on wrestling just real quick though. Without going too far into it, Epic, they did run a controversial angle at the show, and basically all I have to say is that, you know, if you were in the angle, you know, just man up to it, you know, and just say, you know, I was in it, and you know, we felt it was right at the time, and then, you know,
what are you talking about?
Well, Epic, they did a wrestling angle at the show. And,
I didn't know we were back on Epic. Yeah,
that's basically all I want to say about it. If you were in the angle, you know, just man up and say, you know, I mean, it, you know, we agreed with it at the time, and now in hindsight, you know, maybe it wasn't the best thing. But that's all I'm going to say about it. I don't want to go too far into it. What are we going to talk about, Jeff?
Well, are we not talking about that?
No, I mean, unless you have anything to say about it, I mean.
I don't have anything positive to say, so let's move on.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. So anybody who is interested this weekend, who's up in the San Francisco, Newark area, there is a show happening. It's a one day show, which you can come visit Wrestle Warehouse at. Be selling merchandise. It's over at Big Time Wrestling. So anybody who knows about them, come out to the show all day. You can come out and buy some merchandise, meet some wrestlers.
I'm excited to see Tracy Brooks.
We will be there strong.
So will Tracy Brooks. Tracy Brooks will be there.
That's
Tracy Brooks will be there. Bret Hart, Jim Neidhart, Harley Race, Rob Van Dam, Honky Tonk Man, Frankie Kazarian. It's going to be all day. I think it's from 9 to 5, and then there's wrestling at 7. So,
and then there's a party in my apartment after. Oh, wait. No. Kayfabe that. All right. Awesome, awesome. Are you still on the line, Paulie?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, you're still there.
Yeah, I am.
What are the good places to eat after a show, dude, down there?
In San Diego?
Yes, sir. I'll be down on the 15th.
The Denny's off of Carlsbad Village Drive is one of them.
Yeah, that's one.
I like IHOPs. That's my favorite. I'm not a fan of those.
Oh, really? You like IHOP? Oh, well, shit. There's an IHOP out here, brother.
No, I have to agree with Alex. The Denny's is just, you know, hey, come on, guys. Let's get a new place.
Hey, is Pizza Port open? Is Pizza Port open after the show, Jeff?
No, it's too late.
Oh, it's too late.
Well, there you go. But, you know, Alex and Jeff, come next Sunday morning when you eat my wife's magical chocolate chip waffles, you will never eat at IHOP again. You will fly up here to eat her fucking waffles. Okay, they blow anything IHOP away. But that's a whole different story. Paul, I'm going to cut you off so we can take some different callers here.
All right.
Thanks for calling in and dropping some San Diego knowledge. I really appreciate it.
All right, no problem. I hope you guys have fun on this weekend with the Big Time Wrestling show and convention.
Oh, it will be fun, and I will see you in a couple weeks.
All right, cool, man.
All righty, brother. Thanks for calling in.
All right, later.
Wow. Speaking of calling, can you believe Colin Delaney with a 3-year contract? I can't believe it. What do you think, Al?
Oh, man. It's awesome for Colin. I mean, there's a lot of good guys on the indie scene I would like to get contracts. And Colin, I mean, I was talking to one of my friends about it last night who follows Shakar as well. And Colin, he's really, really good. And I feel bad for Jimmy Olsen, though. I don't know where Jimmy Olsen's career is going to take him after this, after losing Colin. But I'm happy for Colin.
Are they going to rename him Colin Whipwreck?
I don't know what they're going
to call.
They might call him Colin Delaney. I mean, Jimmy Delaney or something. I don't know.
Well, hey, you never know. You know, Colin is pulling off that Mikey Whipwreck character, except he doesn't have the wacky promos that Mikey had. That
you know, everybody says that he's pulling off the Mikey character, but the Mikey, it was different with Mikey. I think the Mikey character that he's pulling off is the Mikey they showed in the Rise of Fall. In the Rise of Fall DVD, that's the way they best described the Mikey character was he was, you know, he got beat up a lot. But, I mean, Mikey's gimmick was he was just really scared. He did win matches, though. I mean, he was a television champion. He beat Jason. I mean, he won matches.
True.
And then the evolution of the Mikey character was what was awesome. Mikey going from he was really scared till he became unscared after the Cactus Jack feud. And then he moved on. Justin, I remember the Justin Credible feud when they first started getting pay-per-views. And then evolution of him and Tajiri as a team, which was awesome.
Oh, they were great. That Hammerstein Ballroom tournament was awesome.
Unfortunately, that's not
on
DVD. Yeah, it's only on FanCam. Unfortunately, it's not on a major DVD.
But still, I mean, Rob and Gabe did a real good job of filming it. You know, you knew it was a fan cam, but it wasn't, you know, as shaky as their usual fan cam stuff was. But I do have a caller from the 206. Caller, welcome to Rebel Guard Radio. Whom am I speaking with? Okay. My board's acting kind of funny.
This is Jeff with SoCal Pro. Thanks for having me on.
Hi, Jeff. Caller from the 206. Whom am I speaking with?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Wow. Well, you're one step above Wrestling Observer Live.
Is this the BDR?
No, this is like the cooler than the BDR.
Up, Terry Fierro.
Planet Fierro.
Welcome to Rogue Guard. How you doing, brother?
I'm thinking about becoming a chiropractor.
Please, you can definitely. I need a new Mark Doctor in my life, so please do.
Oh, I'll hook you up, brother.
Mine's on trial in Atlanta, so I need another hookup.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to call in, say hi to you guys, plug my podcast available.
Podcast.
I basically take other people's radio shows, take out the good parts, put them on mine, and call it my own.
Well, you're more than welcome to take that Vito DiNucci promo from last Thursday. That promo.
I think that's getting enough play on the mainstream shows as it is.
Hey, man, that was good stuff. Vito does the best Dusty impression ever.
Yeah. I have a question. Who's calling Delaney? Why am I hearing about this dude so much?
He was a worker for Chipotle.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay.
He's like this. He's like this. Isn't he one of the Chikara guys? Is that how you say it? Chikara?
Chikara.
Is that Chikara ever going to come up to Seattle? That's my real question.
Actually, they could headline with Sweeney Alvarez 3.
Sweeney Alvarez 3? Well, I would promote that, but Brian Alvarez is scared of me because I get the truth. I'm the straight shooter. I called him out. We were going to raise $5,000 for charity to do a shoot interview, and Brian Alvarez backed out because he doesn't want me outing him because I know his secret.
Hey, Terry, do you go on any shows up there?
There's, like, do I run any shows?
Yeah, do you go on any shows up in the Washington area?
Do I go any? I haven't been to a live wrestling show since WrestleMania 19.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
It was good.
You mean
did you guys see it?
The Tulip Championship Wrestling Show a couple weeks ago with that Matt Farmer put on?
Yeah, it's like $8 a ticket and like a half hour away.
Well, you know, I figured since, you know, it was Tulips, you'd be there.
Well, I am Tulips, yeah. There's a lot of Indians up there. But the reason why Buddy Wayne and Brian Alvarez and all those guys can wrestle there, well, they don't have to drug test, for one, because it's on an Indian reservation. So you get to, it's legit, so you get to bypass all the state of Washington laws and wrestling commissions.
Well, there you
but
go.
Yeah, the independent scene here in Washington is just dead. And I don't know. I got better things to do with my time on a weekend evening than go watch a bunch of amateurs. Sounds like fun, but Alvarez has a restraining order against me, and that's kind of hurting my entertainment activities now. If you think I'm stalking him.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Terry, thank you for calling in. It was definitely entertaining. And you
I called
you? You have some new audio to put on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. So you can get it at better websites everywhere. Everybodylovesterry.com. And, we have some fun with the podcast. And we've never had Rubber Guard Radio on it before in the 2 weeks since we've launched. And, I guess we'll have to now.
Please rip us off.
Please rip us off.
Please rip us off. I don't care. As long as anybody out there is listening to any piece of my show, I don't give a fuck.
I know. I've, tuned in. I'm like, whoa, people are listening. It's like all the haters always say no one listens. I'm like,
what?
Other people are listening.
Terry, the download numbers don't lie.
The numbers don't lie.
The numbers don't lie, and neither do the IP addresses. So they
don't
lie.
All right, but yeah, I'm going to be promoting Alvarez Sweeney 3 here, and we're going to run it at Safeco Expedition Center. $25 for Golden Circle Jerk tickets.
I may have to fly up for that one.
Yeah, Kid Zombie's going to be there, and Mitty.
Oh, God. Oh, I guess him and I will be in the semi, so.
And M-Rob is going to be the ringside doctor with his
passing
morphine
out the
pump.
Gimmicks.
Passing out the gimmicks.
Tremendous. Tremendous.
All right.
All right, Terry.
All right, you Internet Radio
you
guys, take care.
All right, brother.
Planet Spiro out.
Okay. It just goes to show you that anything can happen here on Rubber Guard Radio. Okay, before we took Terry's call, where were we, boys?
I don't know, but I'm watching Masawa Kenta for Ring of Honor.
Oh, well, there you go. What's going on there, Jeff?
Oh, not much.
Well, professionalism has officially gone out the window for this show. But that's okay. There's nothing wrong with having fun from time to time. You can't have a serious show all the time.
Oh.
For that, do you know who's booked for that show this weekend? The big time show, Jeff?
Yeah. It's
I'm pretty sure Kazarian's booked. Which, you know, that's a quality match anyway, no matter who he's in there
with.
Yeah,
it's Gail Kim versus Tracy Brooks.
Yes.
It's Frankie Kazarian against Chris Masters.
Oh, that should be good.
Jason Styles against Eugene.
I can't stand Jason Styles, but, you know, he's part owner, so.
The Honky Tonk Man and Greg the Hammer Valentine against Le Emperor and Dash Riprock.
That is going to be fun. Alex, you are going to mark out so much for Le Emperor, okay? This guy, I'm going to break kayfabe, that's Kirk White. That's the boss. And he is an amazing worker for what he does. And that's all I'm saying. Okay? He is hilarious. I'd love to see him work a lucha show to, you know, be the obnoxious French heel in a lucha crowd. But that's money. You got to get Oscar to bring him down for an LLII show. So who are the Bowers booked with?
Interesting that they have split them up for some reason, which makes no sense to me. But Jim Neidhart against Shannon Ballard. And Chico Navarro and Ryan Van Cool against Shane Ballard with Wild Storm against Shoot to Thrill.
Interesting.
That's a three-way.
Okay, and there's another dude that that gentleman that worked in your last show, Kid Crazy.
Brandon Bonham.
Yeah, who's he booked with?
He's not on the show.
No? Okay, I thought he was booked on that show for some odd reason.
I think he's working that next Fog City show, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. He's booked for Fog City. That's right. He's in there with we're gonna run it down next Tuesday. Next Tuesday is gonna be a Fog City exclusive show.
When is their show next weekend?
Yeah, it's next weekend. It's the 8th.
Okay.
Yeah, he's booked on that show. I can't remember who he's working, but the boss Caesar Black of the Fog City calls him the anti cruiserweight. He is a cruiserweight, but he's a more ground-based Dean Malenko type. So it's going to be a Bonham, who's the insane flyer, against this rather grounded guy. So it's going to be a kind of a clash of styles. But yeah, that Fog City show shaping up to be pretty cool. But we're not going to talk about that. That's Tuesday night. But yeah, it looks to be fun. Kirk White always puts on a solid show. What you see is what you get, you know, and the guys that come out and they work hard for him. I'm going to go on record and say that the Gazarian match should steal the show because Frank is good, and I'd like to see Masters go in a non-WWE, you know, setting. What do you think, Jeff?
I think that'll be interesting. I have not seen him other than in WWE, so I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what he's going to do. And what he can do, not being, you know, in WWE.
I'm going to be honest. I won't say how big he is.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? And the same goes for Eugene as well, because I've seen some of his other stuff, and he's a good wrestler, but they just put him with a shitty gimmick. And so, we'll see if he's doing the full gimmick or if he's going to actually work a match.
He's giving it up.
Though that's what I've heard. So, you know, from what they're promoting him, he's going as Eugene. So, you know, who knows if they're doing that just for, you know, publicity or if he's going to be
publicity. He's going to come out. It'll be Nick.
Yeah.
Mr. Wrestling Nick Dinsmore. I prefer that character over the Eugene.
I think everybody does.
Have you seen the matches with Benoit? From OVW TV. Alex, I'm pretty sure you have.
No, I haven't. I haven't seen that much OVW.
Oh, shit. That's right. Sorry. My fault. I was supposed to send you something. I can't remember everything, man.
It's amazing to me how many people Ring of Honor draws.
I personally don't watch the product anymore. I just assume not. You know, it's the same thing for Gorilla. I just won't watch it. It's nothing special. It just doesn't activate me.
I think we're all in the same boat with Ring of Honor.
Just why? You know, I mean, I don't understand Gabe's booking. He's just bringing in guys to bring in guys, and it just doesn't make sense. Which Chikara, on the other hand, everything makes sense. The majority of their workers are in-house. They're trained by Quack, and they're brought through that way. And everything that they do on those shows makes sense. Everybody has their place, and they know their place, and they know their role in the card, and they know not to do too much because you build up towards the main event. Now, Ring of Honor, no. You see Necro Butcher powerbombing some dude through four tables in the first match. Now, that is not wrestling. I grew up where you had
Chris
Hero
and El Generico. Remember
that
match, Jeff? Chris Hero and El Generico? I mean, they went out there and had a main event quality match in the opening.
That was the Cow Palace, right?
What's that?
Was that the Cow Palace?
No, that was at Glory by Honor. The first night of Glory by Honor. Second night of Glory by Honor.
Mm-hmm. You know, I came up, man, where you had your... Not quite dollars, but they were above, and they would go a 20-minute, you know, nice drawn-out Broadway in the beginning, and then it would crescendo up to the top. Now, Ring of Honor is just bam, 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 bam. It's like a fucking pinball game, and I'm lost.
Yeah, you know, I've told it to Alex. I have the option to watch all the Ring of Honor pay-per-views when they come on live, and I just choose not to, just because I feel like it's, you know, just like you said, it's pretty much the same match over and over. And you're getting a main event match in the opener, which, you know, you get bored by the second match.
That's, and you know what, I'm going to put over Marquez's TV. His TV, the first couple matches aren't, you know, bam, 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 we're going to get you. They save that for the main event. I mean, I'm not, his product isn't all that, but it's fun to watch because it's paced properly. It's not fucking crash TV like TNA is, and ROH is, I'm sorry to lump ROH and TNA together, but it pretty much is the same shit. It's too much, too fast. I get lost. I can't follow it. What are your opinions, Alex?
TNA, don't watch it. Ring of Honor, everything everyone else has said. It's the guys are good, but it seems to me like they're trying to steal the show with every match, which I mean, live, it must be awesome the first three matches. I mean, the first three matches, you got guys out there going a million miles per hour, killing themselves, putting on a good match, you know, and I mean, the third match, I bet it's awesome, but I mean, after that, it has to burn you out. And so, everyone else must have dropped off. Jeff, you still there?
Oh, I'm still here. I agree with you.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so, once again... Hold on, Alex, hold on a sec. Okay. Those that are listening out there, we are giving away a 3-DVD set, Revolucha 1, Revolucha 2, and Revolucha 3. I would try to pronounce the show names, but my Spanish is horrible. We are giving away those 3 DVDs. You have until 9 p.m. Pacific time on Wednesday to email me at rubberguardradio@yahoo.com. And what we're going to do is we're going to put all the names in the hat, and I am going to send you those discs, courtesy of our friend Casey Miller and the Revolution promotion out of Detroit. Put your name and your address and preferably a contact phone number so I can call you and let you know you won. And we'll also post the winners on our website, rubberguardradio.com. We're at a light launch. We're about ready to do a full launch very soon. We have some shows archived up there already, and there's a blog posted, so you might want to read that. Stop coughing back there, Jeff. Are you going to call bullshit now, Jeff?
Oh, no, actually, I just had to clear my throat.
Oh, okay. I was like, well, you are the webmaster, so...
No, I just get tired of calling bullshit on you, so I just decided not to.
Oh, boy, we have... Jerry Fierro calling in again. Should we take the call?
Who do we got?
You want to take the call, Alex? It's Terry Fierro again.
Hey, why are you putting me on the spot, man? It's your show, isn't it?
No, it's your show, bro. I'm the co-host.
Go ahead, pass him through.
All right.
You win?
Terry, you have exactly 4 minutes.
Did I win?
Did you win? Email me, mofo. Robert,
I don't
want to
email you.
Com.
You're going to spam me, aren't you?
Of course. Why wouldn't I?
You're going to infect me like a PW spyware.
No. No. No infections. Okay, we had to get rid of Terry there. I had the feeling he was going to go on an obscenity-laced promo on Brian Alvarez again. So, all right, Jeff. You got the office, man. What's the topic?
SmackDown on My Network TV.
You know what? That's not a bad thing. You know, it's a fresh new network. They could sure in the hell use the bump. I want to see the numbers, though. I want to see the numbers, how they're going to work that. Because that network ain't got shit for capital.
Isn't there nothing on that channel anyways?
It was IFL. And then now it's just like movies and shit for women. But, you know, I think the WWE may get like 75% of the ads or something. It's got to be something like that because they don't have any capital. They don't have any money. You know, they were paying the IFL $50,000 an episode. So, I mean, what the hell is that? That's like, you know, the opening segment for Raw or for SmackDown. You know, I think it's...
I don't know.
go ahead, Al.
I don't know what it's going to mean. Hopefully, because apparently my network TV has a lot of exposure, and then WWE is going to increase. I remember when they went over to TNN back in the day with Raw, it seemed like that was the beginning of making what became Spike TV somewhat meaningful. So I remember TNN, their biggest show was Grand Ole Country Opry or whatever. And
Roller Jam. Roller Jam. That's bad.
But now we see what TNN's become with Spike TV. Also, there's a big UFC show this Saturday.
Yes, we may watch it. Depends.
Well, what are your predictions?
Anderson Silva, tap out, second round, triangle choke.
Interesting. No one's ever stopped Dan Anderson. Well, I mean, no one's ever knocked out Dan Anderson.
He's going to tap him in the second with an arm bar, or with an arm triangle. Henderson's going to be going for elbows on the ground, and he's going to get caught.
You don't think Henderson can knock him out standing?
No. I think that Henderson is going to dominate the fight. But he's going to take him down, and he's going to try ground and pound it with the elbows, and Anderson's going to grab an arm and tap him.
Get Chongo, Heath Herring. Who's winning?
Herring. Knockout. First round.
Interesting. That's going to be a battle of the bulls.
He will not make the big Nog mistake again.
What big Nog mistake?
When he floored Nog in Sacramento and didn't follow up and backed
up. I don't think that was a
mistake.
He's not
going to make that mistake
again. I don't think that was a mistake.
That was a mistake.
I disagree with
you. He should have bounced him and dropped elbows on his ass.
And Nogueira could have easily put him in submission. Nogueira
could put him in submission anyway. Alex, you don't back off a guy. You got him, his fucking head scrambled. You don't back off him.
I don't know.
He can just fucking lay there. He can lay there until the referee tells him to get up.
That's
absolutely
correct.
You're giving him a fucking timeout.
That is correct. But I think if he had fallen him to the ground, I think Nogueira would have had enough sense about it. Because you have to understand, when you drill jiu-jitsu, when you drill at anything, that stuff becomes second nature to people. And Nogueira could put you in an arm bar when he's asleep, literally. I mean, that's no bullshit. He could probably put you in an arm bar while he's asleep just because he's going through the motion. And I still think that a knocked out Nogueira on the ground is still more dangerous than mortal men. I think it proved the fact when Nogueira was able to put Tim Sylvia in that guillotine after Tim Sylvia had been beaten on him on that first round. And then also, if we remember back to the Bob Sapp Nogueira fight, what happened in that fight? Bob Sapp beat up on him for three rounds, and Nogueira got and ended up putting him in the arm bar.
Good point, Jeff. Chime in anytime.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know much about what's going on in this fight this Saturday.
Okay, well there you go.
I haven't followed the show.
What's the preview show?
What's that?
I'm excited to see the Heath Herring Kid Chongo fight. So that's going to be a battle of two bulls going in there, and then it's going to be definitely going to be something.
It's going to be a K-1 fight. It is. It's going to be a kickboxing fight. You know, unless he fights it.
Oh God, that was a joke, wasn't it?
I didn't see it.
Oh, really? Yeah, you'll watch it Saturday night.
Okay. What's next for Bob Sapp?
Next for Bob Sapp. Let's see. Well, what other super heavyweights are out there? Or guys that can move up to super heavyweight? Antonio Silva?
I was thinking maybe TNA.
You know, he should be working for Vince, man. That guy's got so much charisma. And, you know, you can bring him to Japan, and you know how much money you're going to drop with him? You could fill the Tokyo Dome with that guy on headlining a WWE show against Hunter.
In 2008, you think you'd fill the Tokyo Dome with Sapp?
I think so. Sapp and Hunter?
I don't know what Hunter means in Japan.
It doesn't matter. It's not about Hunter.
Sapp wasn't able to fill out stadiums in Hustle, was he?
Right, but this is with the WWE, which is a brand, as well as you have the SAP brand. So it makes sense. With SAP on one side and Hunter, you just, you know, you bring in, you know, whatever Japanese guys and have them kill Japanese guys on Raw, leading us to the Tokyo Dome.
I think it's unfortunate seeing the fall of Bob Sapp, though, because Bob Sapp, I remember back in the day when Sapp, you know, everyone said, you know, if Sapp were just to get trained, he'd be, you know, one of the top-level fighters in the world, and then Sapp decided, you know, to be more of a celebrity, and then apparently all that stuff didn't pan out for him, and now he's kind of in a tough predicament. And then considering he just lost that fight, he's in a real tough predicament.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sapp, huh? I don't know what they're going to do with him next. I have no idea.
It'll be interesting. What do you do with him twice next?
Hold on just a second. Okay, I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you. What was that?
What do you do with Kimbo Slice next?
Put him in there with Sapp.
And risk.
Why the fuck Kimbo? Not? Kimbo can make 266.
And do you think Sapp could beat him?
Anybody can beat anybody, Alex. You know that. Okay.
I don't know if anybody could
beat. I want to see.
Franklin could beat Anderson Silva.
Anything can happen, MMA dude. Okay, really. You know, Gabriel Gonzaga proved that.
Well,
fuck
it. Crow Cop?
Well, we're talking about Crow Cop. How is he going to do when he moves back to Japan? I think his legacy's dead. It's tarnished.
I think he'll do well because they can handpick opponents for him. And then if he ever wanted to get into pro wrestling, I think he might do something in pro wrestling over there.
Mm.
But I definitely think that the Dreams promotion, I think they're definitely going to handpick opponents for him. I mean, that's no question.
Course.
They're not going to put him in there with anybody that has a chance of beating him. And he said, I guess his dream's to come back to the UFC and win. And I don't think his heart wasn't really in the UFC. I never saw the killer Crow Cop that we saw in Pride for whatever reason. You know, Heath Herring brought up a lot of good points on Between the Ropes about why he thinks that, you know, we didn't see the killer Sapp in America. I mean, the killer Mirko Krokop in America, but the fact that...
I think it's the rules, Alex. I think the knees on the ground, the kicking on the ground, I think that those rules hurt Krokop. I think they did.
Krokop's game was, though, I mean, Krokop is an elite-level striker, and I think definitely with, you know, he should have been knocking a lot more people out. And Kachanga was, you know, the perfect guy to exhibition that with because Chonga wasn't going to go to the ground, wasn't even going to attempt it. He was going to stand there, look at chin strike, and
Kongo picked his ass apart. Dr. Kongo operated on the patient, Mirko Krokop. I mean, body kicks, leg kicks. I mean, Jesus, you saw his fucking ribs after that fight.
Yeah.
I mean, he was lit the fuck up. Chet Kongo picked him apart, and he showed how weak he is. Krokop is done. He's going to have his little Japanese worked fights, or they're going to throw him in there with tomato cans, no matter what you want to call it. He's going to end up, you know, doing some things for Hustle, and he'll finally end up in IGF. That's just the way it's going to be, man, because he's done. He cannot fight at a higher level.
What is IGF? I have the most recent show from IGF.
Inoki Genome Federation. It's Inoki's spinoff of New Japan. So
I thought it had a lot of work shoot fights on there.
Yes, some. And what they're doing is Inoki's building up the company to probably go to next year's Dome show and go to war with New Japan. That's what I think. I think Inoki's still in bed with New Japan.
It should be interesting. Inoki, he's definitely a really smart person. The shows, the production value on these shows are some of the best I've seen coming out of Japan. I'll say that.
Hmm. Well, what did you think of the Tonko match on the IGF show?
I haven't even checked out the IGF show. What I have checked out though is that Eddie Gilbert shoot interview.
Hey, that's good stuff, huh?
Oh, I'm a huge Eddie Gilbert fan. And it's so interesting because that shoot interview had to be shot in about 1993. And,
it was 93 or 94. It was in Bristol, Tennessee. Okay. And you can buy that DVD at BobBarnett.com. That is an exclusive. You can only buy it from BobBarnett.com.
Now,
Bob conducted that shoot with Eddie. That is the first ever official shoot interview.
That's what I was going to say. That was the most interesting part about it, because it was 1993, and then Eddie was so open about stuff in 1993, which was just so amazing to me.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, Bob Barnett revolutionized the videotape industry. He started the shoot interviews. Then Rob Feinstein decided to stick his nose in, and you know, but whatever, you know, personal feelings aside, Rob took it to a whole new level. And I'll tell you, this is an exclusive for the listeners of Rubber Guard Radio. Rubber Guard Radio will be jumping into the shoot interview game. I have purchased a new video camera. I already have a shoot interview lined up with a San Francisco pro wrestling legend, which will be taking place in the next couple months. So we are jumping into the shoot interview game. I also hear that the owners of WrestleWarehouse.com are interested in getting in the shoot interview game as well. So we're going to show those motherfuckers on the East Coast that us West Coast players know how to do it too. What do you think, Jeff?
I'm just wondering who the other owner of Wrestle Warehouse is.
Oh, that's right. It's just you. I thought Alex Saint was also, you know, had a little piece of your action as well as mine.
Oh, sure, yeah. Owners, that's right. You heard him right the first time.
Okay. Anything else to bring up, Alex?
Yeah, who are some names that you would like to have shoot interviews with, KZ or Jeff? If you could have a dream shoot interview, who would it be with?
Buddy Rose.
I think it'd be Alex Saint and KZ together.
That'll happen Saturday night, but well, we may have to just let the camera run after the show. So, me personally, I can't wait to take a trip up to Portland. I love Buddy Rose. Since back way back in the day, Buddy Rose and Colonel DeBeers would be fun. I'm not going to let out the name of who I have lined up, but Jeff, you know. But I want to focus on guys that are on the West Coast, guys that I grew up watching, guys from San Francisco territory and stuff like that. How about you, Jeff? Who did you? You know, really want to get on camera and on film.
There's a lot of guys. We'll just have to wait and see who comes through.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're running down to 7 minutes. Wow, we survived. All right. Well, Boss Man Jeff, you're the first. Let's run out all your plugs.
Anybody got some free time this weekend? Come out and see Wrestle Warehouse at the Big Time Wrestling Show up in Newark. That's Saturday, 9 o'clock to 5 o'clock, and stay for the shows. Again, if you missed the SoCal Pro Show on February 9th, you can pick it up at WrestleWarehouse.com. Just click New Products, and you can purchase it there. And make sure you check out SoCalProWrestling.com. And you can check out, we'll have some information pretty soon about our March 22nd show. And that's about it. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Not a problem, Jeff. Thanks for coming in. And,
talk to you
guys
later.
Thanks for covering Vito, man. He's homesick, but we'll get him very soon. I will be talking to you very soon. And if I some chance don't talk to you, I will see you at the Big Time Show.
Sounds good. Later, guys.
All right, boss. All right, Alex, we survived another potpourri show. That was fun.
Very interesting.
Well, you know, when guests don't show up, who the hell knows what's going to happen? But we did get to speak to the world-famous Wiggly, and we had Casey Miller on, and superfan Paul from San Diego, who's always fun to talk to, and the world-famous radio show whore himself, Ed in San Antonio. Big props to you, Ed. Thanks for calling in, brother. And, of course, Terry Fierro, who always brings the goodness. And also Ian Daniels, which we had for a few minutes. Sorry out there, Ian. We had a bunch of different callers on tonight. So, But, yeah, we're down to 5 minutes.
I actually wanted to discuss something with you, Alex. I had a chance today to watch your January 12th match again with Lakura, and I tell you, your heel mannerisms for a guy that has three matches under your belt was, pardon my language, but fucking amazing. Okay, now, albeit it was a fan cam, there was no commentary, there was no crowd sound, but I was still into the match, and I was still yelling at the TV. You captivated me. Now, I'm not putting you over because you're my friend and co-host. I'm putting you over as a worker, and if you continue on the way that you are, you're going to be something not just in San Diego, but all of California.
I'm just excited. I'm actually, right now, we're planning a big trip to go up to Washington and attend the world-famous Buddy Wayne Wrestling School up in Washington, and I'm really excited about that and the opportunity to learn. And then a new school just opened up in Northern California, but north of where I live. Actually, the New Wave Heavyweight Champion, Chaos, just opened the school. So that's definitely something I'm going to look forward to going to. And then also, I want to go and train some more Rick Grayson, just to get some more trainings under my belt, to get some different styles under my belt, learn different stuff from different guys who different guys have to offer. Because if you stick with one training school, you know, I think that you don't get a complete piece of the pie. I think you need to be more well-rounded to be able to work with a different bear. Because, I mean, I'm telling you, when you start working shows, you're not only going to work against kids you train with. You know, you're going to work with different guys, you know, who train differently, who do stuff differently, and you got to get used to that. So I try to meet that off in the past by training with different people. And, I'd like to say I'm happy that you enjoyed my match. It is only my third match, and then hopefully, you know, I have some room to grow or whatever. It was a decent match. It's only my third match, so it is what it is. It has a lot of room to get better. And then, I'm just training every day. I'm not training every day, but I train 2 days a week at least. And just trying to get better, just trying to, because, I mean, my main goal in there, you know, is to make the guy look good, you know, to really let the guy shine, and then not for me and him not to get hurt. That's like my main goal when I'm in there. So I'll accomplish that, then, you know, it's a good match in my opinion, you know. But, I mean, just training on my fundamentals, getting better at that and stuff like that. So I'm just really excited about going up to Buddy's. It's pretty much all I talk about nowadays. Is April 3rd through the 26th, I'll be up in Washington. And if everything goes right, you know, knock on wood, and then I'm just excited for that, so.
When you're up there, you need to contact Matt Farmer, because there is a booking waiting for you when you go up there.
Well, I mean, if
which I'm going to collect my 15%. So, also,
well, I understand that, you know, Matt said that, but I mean, Matt also said that, you know, if Buddy gives me the stamp of approval, which, I mean, that's going to be my biggest thing, you know, because it'll really mean something, you know, if Buddy says, you know, I have somewhat of a half a clue, you know, because obviously I'm not going to go out there and impress Buddy Wayne, you know. Buddy Wayne's seen everybody, worked with everybody. I mean, you're not going to impress the man, but hopefully, you know, he thinks that, you know, I'm somewhere on the track to being, you know, a half-ass worker. That'll be a huge compliment to me. So I don't know if I'll get that, but, I mean, that's hopefully what I'm going for. And then obviously, we obviously talk about Brian Alvarez a lot on the show or whatever, but Brian's a really good worker, you know. And then the opportunity to get in there and train with him some is really something I'm looking forward to. I mean, when I, you know, obviously I joined the website, and I know him as a columnist or whatever, but I've seen a couple of his matches, and I've seen one live, and Brian's really good. And so Brian assures me we'll get some in-ring time together, which is something I'm definitely looking forward to, because Brian has a lot that he can teach, you know. So I'm just really looking forward to the whole experience. It's going to be awesome. So, yeah, when you meet me, yeah, that's all I'm going to talk about, too, and that's all I'll talk about around here, and I'm really looking forward to that. So.
All right, well, we're going to wrap it up. I'll run through the plugs. You can hit Alex on MySpace, myspace.com/CMSaint. You can get me at myspace.com/RubberGuardRadio, and you can also go to our very brand-new, spanking, beautiful website, RubberGuardRadio.com. We have blogs posted. Alex, I need a blog from you.
I'll write it up.
All right. WrestleWarehouse.com, can't forget the sponsors. Also, the newest member of the Rubber Guard Radio family, FogCityWrestling.com. Big ups. We love you, Caesar. What am I forgetting? Oh, New Wave Pro Wrestling and SoCal Pro Wrestling. And as far as this weekend is concerned, BigTimeWrestling.com. If you are in Northern California, come out to Newark. Come out for the FanFest 9 to 5, and the show doors are, I think, 6:30, and bell time should be 7. So come on out, buy some swag, support Rebel Girl Radio. We'll talk to you on Thursday.